Financial independence, retire early, or FIRE is a concept that pisses off a lot of people, and I totally understand why. The idea that you can save, invest, and focus enough to amass 25 times your annual income so that you can withdraw 4% annually in the future seems a bit outrageous and, quite honestly, a bit far-fetched. How is this even possible? With car loans, student loans, a lack of financial education, or even enough financial education to know that you're behind the eight ball or basically fucked financially, it just feels like this is completely impossible to do. And real talk, for people who know that their earnings start well below what the average white male earns on a dollar, you kind of feel like this is all crazy talk, even if you're a white guy. So basically, a lot of people just find FIRE to be insanity. There's also the other piece on the road to FIRE that pisses off a lot of people, and that's the focus on the end result, the word retire, versus what your life looks like now. Life is hard enough without working towards a goal that seems unattainable. In my view, there's another way, and I wanted to share what slow FIRE gets right about FIRE that people are missing and that FIRE gets wrong. Is sponsored by the Brand Building Lab. Doors are now open to my new program. Are you a digital content creator stuck on perfect and not launching any products? Do you get super frustrated because of analysis paralysis and find yourself unable to get out of your own head? Are you struggling to make meaningful connections that will grow your brand and your business? Then the Brand Building Lab is for you. Schedule your free 20-minute consultation call with me today. Text "Now is my time" to 44222 or click the link in the show notes. To get to the show notes, you'll go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/whatslowfire. And that's again, michelleismoneyhungry.com/whatslowfire. Okay, so of course, right when I get started, there's noise above my head. So if you hear some noise, sorry about that. Anyway, it is my view that the R in FIRE is keeping a lot of people from creating their best lives now. I noticed this after either talking about FIRE with people who are pursuing it currently or when sharing the concept of FIRE with people for the first time. FIRE devotees always talk about the year that they retire. I can't wait for 2030 when I retire officially from working my 9-to-5. I'm so sorry, but that is so unappealing to me. There's nothing exciting to me about talking about 10 years from now when I'm going to be able to retire. What part of that is exciting? People new to FIRE will begin talking about the following. Well, what will you do when you're retired? Like, won't you be bored? As if the absence of daily labor for a company that you're a cog in the wheel for is the end all to the type of activities you could be doing on a daily basis. In fact, if you speak to a retired person of any age, and I know plenty who are both old and very young, the vast majority of them will tick through a list of all the stuff that they're up to. In fact, my grandma is one of the busiest people that I know. I've often asked her how she had time for work with all the activities that she's currently a part of. She's often laughed at that question and said to me, well, now I can just do all the things that I actually enjoy. I need to ask, what about the FIRE movement is appealing to you? Like, if you're listening to this episode, I'm hoping that you are intrigued on some level about this concept. So I'm asking, what's intriguing to you about it? I'll share why FIRE is so appealing to me. Financial independence, which is something that everyone should aspire to, especially Americans, where we have no anything to help us out. The ability to make decisions without worrying about money. So ideally, there's a point where you've earned so much money and amassed so much wealth that you're able to really take care of yourself. Lifestyle flexibility. I love the idea of that. The ability to pursue my own interests and intellectual pursuits. Time to focus on self-care and fitness, the ability to spend more time with family and friends, the possibility of learning new things and challenging myself intellectually without other people's feedback. So when I worked my previous job, I was roadblocked on a couple of things that I wanted to learn. And that was part of the reason why I started blogging, was so that I could develop skills that my employers didn't want me to develop, basically. They were like, no, you can't develop them here. We don't want you to learn how to do this here. So I started developing skills outside of my regular 9-to-5. So I like that with FIRE, you're just doing what you want to do. There's no rules about what you can or cannot pursue because you're beholden to no one financially. So my current reality is I have lifestyle flexibility, the ability to pursue my own interests, time to focus on self-care and fitness, the ability to spend more time with family and friends, and I'm also able to focus on learning new things and challenge myself intellectually. Nope. I haven't hit FIRE. In fact, I am actually still paying off a lot of debt. I'm slated to pay off a large amount of debt at the end of this month. I'm getting very close to just having student loans to pay. So I'm paying off debt, but I'm living the FIRE lifestyle that a lot of people aspire to. So what happened? Well, about 5 years ago, I just decided that I needed to live my life differently. I'd been commuting for 10 years between Denver and Boulder to my job. That was literally hours upon hours of time on a road to another city. That highway was actually under construction and was completed the year that I stopped commuting. Like right after my commute ended, like when I quit, they basically finished up that huge project. Ironically, 5 years later, that same road ended up having a giant sinkhole, and it's taken them about 5 months to fix it. Like by giant sinkhole, I mean the size of, I'd say, a football field, like this enormous sinkhole. But I digress. My point is, I had, you know, commuted for a billion years and I was doing all this stuff, and I was just like, this is not how I want to live my life. So I decided to do a couple of things differently, and I'm going to share what I did in the event that you might find in some inspiration in what I did. So the first thing was, before I ever thought about quitting my job, I started being really strategic about how I used my vacation time and PTO. So I started about 2 years before I actually finally quit. I was really optimizing my 3-day weekends so that they would become 4-day weekends. Now, I will say, in Colorado, Coloradans are all about the 4-day weekends or the 3-day. Like, we love long weekends. We will take them anytime you give them to us. If there's a snowstorm, we're like, oh, there's a snowstorm. We're going to the mountains. So we like, culturally, it wasn't anything that would be frowned upon at my job. Like, everyone was like, oh yeah, we do that too. But before, I wasn't doing that. Like, before, I was doing the, I am a Black woman and I always have to show up for everything and I have to be like 180% better than everybody else because I, you know, you always see me in a different light. Like, I was like really pushing myself in a certain way and it wasn't serving me well. And so I just started using my vacation time and my PTO. And it was glorious because I was giving myself some grace and the time to rest so that I could be better at my job. I also asked for time off or half days based on weeks where I worked way above what the normal allotment of work hours would be. So if I, you know, worked like a 60, 70, 80 hour week, which was insane, but happened a lot actually, I would be like, hey, to my, you know, director, do you mind if I come in on, you know, Tuesday, or do you mind if I leave at noon on Friday? So I was constantly kind of negotiating time for me. And again, it wasn't something that was necessarily frowned upon because other people really used that part of our company culture, like in a positive way. So that was a very positive thing in terms of company culture because everyone was interested in pursuing a flexible schedule. It's just that a lot of times your employer will let you work yourself into the ground if you want to work yourself into the ground. So that's what I was doing, but ultimately it just affected my quality of life, quality of work, and the service that I provided to the students. So I wasn't as effective. So I started doing that. I also began pursuing interest separate from my job. So I mentioned this briefly before, but I started developing all the skill sets that my employer just was reluctant to add to my job description. So one of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to pursue marketing. Like, I really enjoyed marketing. I loved the events that we would do. I marketed the events to the students. They would sign up for them. I loved the organization that I worked for, and I wanted to market the organization. And that would have allowed me to travel the world, actually, to market the program that I was in. But if I were marketing, then my bosses couldn't go market. Like, usually they would send one person on these trips. So I was constantly roadblocked on that because they wanted that opportunity for themselves. So I began to pursue interests outside of my own job because I just felt like I'm not going to let you stifle me intellectually and keep me from learning what I want to learn. And by doing that, that's actually really served me well now, because I'm able to market like the brand building lab and market myself and speak at conferences and, you know, do all the things that I've done, you know, create money on the mountain. So if you are thinking about FIRE and your life and what you want to do, there is room to start pursuing that now. The other thing that I did was I opted to live in my tiny place. Now, let's be clear. My tiny place is tiny. It is not for everyone. It actually needs to be remodeled this spring. Ideally, I would like that to happen. And then I'd like to either, I might still stay in it. I don't even know. I haven't decided. But my tiny place is a third of the cost of what most people pay in Denver for rent on a monthly basis. So I, you know, opted to live in a space that some people would find uncomfortable, but I was perfectly fine with it. I was perfectly happy. Fantastic neighborhood, lovely neighbors, super safe, walkability. I can walk to 5 grocery stores, the light rail, coffee shops. Like, it's a wonderful location. But the drawback was that it's small, but I'm one person, so it didn't really make a difference to me. The other thing that I did was I started to lower my overall monthly expenses. So some of the things that I've cut extensively were my phone bills. So I used to pay about $107 a month for Verizon. I'm one person, and every month I would get angrier and angrier when I would get my phone bill because it was like, what the hell? Like, I don't even like talking on the phone. So eventually I changed to Google Fi, which I'm now still currently with. I love Google Fi. I actually broke my phone last week during my break in Breckenridge. I may have dropped my phone in the hot tub and then put it on the side of the hot tub, and it froze to the hot tub because it was like -7 degrees. And yes, the hot tub was hot. It was wonderful and glorious, and maybe wine was involved. But my point is, my phone bill is averaging like $35 a month. So I literally saved $864, give or take, a year just by doing that. I cut my grocery bill significantly by just going to the grocery store once a week. I literally just did that, and it cut my grocery bill significantly. And I also used Ibotta, which I'm a huge fan of, to save money on groceries and that kind of thing, and also to earn money back. So I'm a huge fan of Ibotta. It's a Colorado-based savings app, but you can use it all over the United States. If you are new to Ibotta and you sign up for the via my affiliate link, once you redeem your first savings in the next couple of weeks, like in the next 2 weeks from the time you sign up, you'll earn $10 and I'll get $5. So it's a win-win. And the $10 you earn is towards your first $20 payout. So just side note, I do my own hair. I stopped buying expensive wigs. In fact, Sandy Smith from Yes, I Am Cheap and the Hustle Crew got me hooked on some great websites so that I could have fun with hair without going broke. Unfortunately, due to all the stress that I was dealing with at my job, I experienced some significant hair loss. It is very upsetting to me to this day, to be honest. And I, you know, felt very self-conscious about this and still to a certain extent do. But I didn't want to go broke trying to look my best. And so I stopped, you know, paying for these expensive wigs and started getting lesser expensive ones. I probably spend $250 a year on hair now. I attend fun free events in Denver. There's so many events here. Quite honestly, it kind of blows your mind. Like, there's so much to do. I am currently part of a car share. So I used to own a car outright, and then the car had to go away. And that's a whole nother, that's like a podcast episode for next year because it's hilarious and just a hot mess. However, now I estimate that I spend about $1,000 on transportation costs a year, including when I use the car share or light rail fares. So the two. So it's I've dropped my transportation costs. And I typically, when I'm driving with the car share program that I'm in, I use hybrid cars. They basically only have hybrids in this program. It's a nonprofit. And it's awesome because I get to try different cars. I've discovered that I don't like the Prius at all. I hate it. Sorry, Prius owners. I just hate it. I hate it. Ugh. But I do love the Toyota RAV4 with, or Toyota RAV5 with the five seats. It's a big, like, round SUV kind of thing that's super smooth, and I just love that car. So I love being a part of a car share, and that's kept my expenses low. I've also stopped shopping for the most part, even though I'm really obsessed with fashion, but I was paying off debt and have been paying off debt. So I, instead of paying, you know, tons on fashion, I signed up for ThredUp.com, and I actually earned a ton of credits through ThredUp, and I get a lot of clothes basically for free, and shoes and bags. So there you go. I paid off my debt with that savings from lowering my overall expenses. I travel and continue to travel unconventionally in order to hack the cost. I made sure that quality wasn't affected as I made mindful switches. So for example, I still grocery shop at Whole Foods. In fact, I was there today. Nick True from Mapped Out Money recently shared a video about his slow fire journey and how he's done things similar to me in order to live his best life now as he builds a financially independent life. I've actually included the video at the end of the show notes. It's a must watch. I am not financially independent. In fact, I'm still working towards that. In fact, I'm paying off a large amount of debt, fingers crossed, at the end of this month. Once that's paid, I will have about five bills left after dealing with over 30 plus creditors. Like, I am so excited. I'm very close to getting a lot of this done. Let's be very clear. My FIRE journey won't even begin until all of my debts paid off, because you're saving at a significant rate. Then I will also have to factor in my mother's retirement number into my plans. This is not unusual for many people, FIRE or not, especially people of color. So when we talk about FIRE, I'm finding consistently that people of color who are in the FIRE movement are factoring in their parents' number too. It's like a thing, and it's not surprising. Knowing that I have more to factor into my FIRE plans in terms of it, just knowing that I had more to factor into my FIRE plans meant that I decided to focus on quality of life first versus this long-term journey that I would be on to hit my number. And quite honestly, I've been on a long-term debt repayment journey, and I'm exhausted. So the idea of finishing off, paying off that debt, and then having like another 5 to 10 years of just focusing on a thing and not enjoying myself sounds like hell. It sounds awful, right? I love how I live now. I do not want to change how I live now. I don't want to, you know, focus so much on the R that nothing else is like in front of me, like that I can't see the forest from the trees. No, thank you. I still work, but for myself. And ironically, it looks like I'm steadily on track to make significantly more than what I used to make at my old job, especially as I look at projected earnings over the upcoming year. The irony is that I'm living my FIRE life now, and it's not lost on me, especially as I'm working towards financial independence. So basically, there's a middle ground. Slow FIRE gets it right because it encourages people to live your best life now, look for opportunities to create the most optimal lifestyle you can create based on your career. Some jobs just aren't flexible. You may end up asking yourself if it's time to find a new position, and if it is, what does that position look like? It also forces you to be clear about why FIRE appeals to you. So Nick mentions this in his video as well. So for me, I'm literally living my dream lifestyle minus the $1 million in retirement. I'm working towards that end goal. However, now I have the actual energy and focus and drive to do that because I'm not worried about having a heart attack at work or during my 4-hour commute, exhausted and crying because I'm lonely and I can't meet people, which was what was happening before. I was having a hard time. Now I have like all this time and it's wonderful. I'm pursuing intellectual interests. I'm growing a business. I'm, you know, going to the mountains for 4 or 5 days at a time because I can. I don't have to ask permission to do what I want to do. And it is wonderful. Is it easy? No. And it would be disingenuous to say that it is. Building a business and doing what I'm doing means that you're living unconventionally. And to be unconventional can sometimes set you up to be different than others. I'm very lucky. I live in a place where there are a lot of people who are doing what I do. And it's not as unusual as it would be in other places. So there are a ton of fire focused people in Colorado, so I'm in good company. Or there are a lot of people who work digitally and kind of pursue similar interests, and maybe they don't call it fire. So they kind of get like the fact that I want to go snowboarding on Wednesday versus going on Friday and dealing with all the traffic up to the mountain. Like, everyone understands that. So it's been great for me because I don't have to explain myself to the point where I'm frustrated. Like, people get what I'm trying to do. And ultimately, I'm happy as a clam. And people want to emulate that experience. Like, they're like, how do you do this? I'm like, it's not easy. So anyway, that is the show. I hope you enjoyed it. I'd love for you to share your thoughts about slow fire and how it gets fire right, or maybe it doesn't. Definitely make sure you like and subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time.